Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Special guest joining us now, Jerry DiPaolo from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, Pitt Penn State Week, and Jerry's going to give us the lowdown on the Panthers. How you doing, Jerry?
Good morning. How are things in central Pennsylvania?
We're doing great. It's an anticipated week and an anticipated matchup, I think, coming off of what Penn State showed against Appalachian State. I think there's some people who are a little nervous for this matchup.
I'm sure there were people who were a lot nervous near the end of that game on Saturday.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I think there's going to be some things that Penn State needs to improve going forward. And let me start with that idea on Pitt's side of the ball. From your vantage point, just give me a little bit of a feel for where you see strengths on this team and where you still have some questions that are going to linger into week two.
Well, I mean, they've been talking about the quarterback position all through training camp. They talk about Kenny Pickett almost like he's a second coming of Dan Marino, and he's only a sophomore with two starts to his credit. But he's a tough kid. You know, he doesn't look, if you look at him, he has those soft features and his hair come just right every time. But he showed he's a tough kid in the game against Albany on Saturday when he tried to hurdle one of the Albany defenders to get a first down. Ended up fumbling. You know, we're sitting pleased at Pat Narduzzi very much. And he also hurt himself when he slid while he was scrambling. So the kid moves around a lot. So he's not a quarterback who's going to just sit in the pocket and make reads all the time. He's going to try and do some things with his feet if he has to. The problem Pitt's going to have, I think, maybe won't be a problem later in the season, is the wide receiver position is very inexperienced. There's a lot of talent there. There's some what they call explosive talent. We don't watch much practice, so I can't really tell you, you know, if these guys are explosive or not, because they didn't really throw deep very much against Albany. I think he averaged less than 10 yards of completion against Albany. But there's a lot we don't know. I mean, these guys are young. The freshman, Shockey Jock Lees, looks like he's going to be a good player. He's the kind of guy that can stretch the defense. Dontavious Butler-Jenkins, another guy that they say can stretch the defense, who, by the way, had zero catches against Albany. And they may have been holding some things back, because, as you know, prying eyes, where we'd like to see what it has to show, and they didn't want to show Penn State too much.
Well, I think a lot of people on Penn State side are hoping that Penn State held a lot back for Pitt. There were some issues, I think, in the passing game in particular, and I know that, you know, Pitt's got to bring some things together, but if you watch that game against App State, you know, their quarterback looked very good, but there were just a lot of pretty easy throws that they were making that I'm curious to see if they can clean that up for the Pitt game. I know this isn't maybe your area of expertise, but I think a lot of people are seeing the traffic patterns and the parking and the no tailgating, and it's a complicated day down there. What would be your number one piece of advice for anybody, whether it's from Pittsburgh or further away from Pittsburgh, trying to come in to catch this game?
Well, you know what? Here's what you might want to do. You know, go to the Pirate game at 1:00. You know, find a place to park. You know, for the Pirate game, go in and watch the Pirates play the Marlins. They'll be over about 4:30, and then head over to the game. But I think you could even tailgate if you have a Pirate. If you pay to park for a Pirate game, you can stay, you know, for the Pitt game. To watch the Pitt game, to park for the Pitt game. So maybe you can do that, you know, put off your tailgating until 5:00, so after the Pirate game's over, and you'll have something to do, and you'll be already dying on the North Shore. You don't want to get there too late. I know I'm going to try and get there early, because traffic's going to be a mess. The Pirate game, you know, doesn't want to attract a lot of fans, but it might attract a lot of fans this Saturday, because there'll be people from out of town who've never seen PNC Park that might want to come down and take in both games. So, just don't tailgate before 5:00 and you'll be fine. That's my best piece of advice.
Okay, that's good to know. I wonder sometimes whenever you see, you know, you can, if you just come and pay to park twice, you can do whatever you want. I wonder if it's a logistical thing or if there's a little bit of a cash grab happening here.
How about a finance thing?
Yeah.
I've seen preliminary parking costs already at $75 at the Carnegie Science Center. And I'll bet there'll be some lots, you know, around the stadium that are going to be charging three figures to park, because they'll get it too. So I'm going to try and get there early. I'm lucky I get a parking pass and I don't have to worry about it, but, it's going to be a crazy night. One thing about Pittsburgh, it's an event town. People like big events. And this being the last Penn State Pitt game in Pittsburgh, maybe forever, I think the fans are going to come out in droves. They're going to, The stadium's going to be all lit up, and it's national television, ABC game at 8 o'clock. So I think it's going to be a game that people are going to really anticipate and really look forward to. And the way things are shaping up, I really think it's going to be a close game, too. Penn State's not the same team it's been the last 2 years. Pitt is slowly getting better, I think, you know, from their 5-7 season. They have a lot of things to problem, a lot of problems. You talk about Penn State's pass defense. Pitt gave up some chunk plays in the passing game against Albany with a quarterback, Vincent Testaverde, who hadn't played since 2014. What are they going to do against Trace McSorley, who is a Heisman Trophy contender? So it's going to be one of those things where, you know, Pitt doesn't shore up that pass defense. And they did have some injuries back there. Dane Jackson, who started every game last year, didn't play against Albany. And who knows if he'll play on Saturday, because don't you dare ask Pat Narduzzi any questions about injuries. He doesn't want to hear it. So they could have some problems in the passing game if they don't shore things up this week.
Maybe Narduzzi and Franklin have a little bit more in common than they want to acknowledge on the injury
all
front.
All coaches are the same. They don't want to talk about injuries. They don't want to give the other team any kind of advantage to know who's going to play, who's not going to play. Because then that team can prepare one way or the other.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Talking to Jerry DiPaolo from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. The segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where they have a special Keystone Sports RV loaded with all kinds of good stuff. 409 Tailgate Club barbecue sauces, tailgate wine, Labatt Blue beer, even a catered barbecue meal. You can check out details at GoPSURV.com. I wanted to circle back, Jerry, and just the whole notion. You mentioned Pittsburgh being an events town, and that's cool. And I think one of the things that you watch from afar for Pitt is fighting for attention in that environment. You know, you hear all kinds of stuff about them being a pro city and Heinz Field maybe being too big for them. What's your position just on Pitt and their battle with attendance, their battle for, you know, attention in the city of Pittsburgh?
You know, I think there's only a set number of rabid Pitt fans in the city. And, you know, most games, this game Saturday wasn't on TV, but most games are on TV. And a lot of people, you know, Pittsburgh people, you know, I don't want to call them lazy, but if they have a chance to stay home and watch a game on TV where they can get the beer right out of the refrigerator instead of paying $10 a glass, they're going to do that for the most part. Now, when they played Penn State, when they played Florida State 5 years ago in the ACC opener, that was a big time event. They're going to play West Virginia in the next decade. That'll be the first time in 10 years or so. That's going to be a big time event. But, you know, Pitt is fighting a battle of relevance because they're easily number four. Pirates, Penguins, Steelers are probably Steelers, Penguins, Pirates, 1, 2, 3 in that order. And Pitt falls in at number four. And, a lot of people would tell you that high school football is a little more popular than Pitt in this time. So, but Pitt could change all that. All they have to do is start winning. You know, they're coming off a 5-win season. I mean, that has as much to do with 34,000 attendance in the Albany game as anything, because people want to be shown. They want Pitt to prove to them that they're going to be a winning team this year. And they can start off by beating Penn State. The schedule is very difficult this year, but a win against Penn State is going to go a long way, you know, toward, you know, solving some of those relevance problems that Pitt has. The other thing is, I just looking at this today, you know, Pitt's played Penn State the last 2 years. Both years, they lost their next two games right after that. So this is a big game, obviously, but it's only game number 2 of 12. So, and it's not a conference game either. And, you know, Pat Narduzzi, as I'm sure you know, made a promise to his fans at the kickoff luncheon a couple Fridays ago that we'll be in Charlotte for the ACC championship game on December 1st. He says, we're going to be there, he said. And so beating Penn State, other than the fact that it's going to, you know, give them some national prominence, isn't going to help them win the ACC. So there's bigger games than this one coming up later in the season.
So in Pat Narduzzi's defense, they can always just go watch the game if they're not playing in it, right?
Well, that's what he said. And he said, we're going there.
Okay, all right. They're going to Charlotte. It just might be a field trip instead of a business trip.
Yeah.
What's your feel on the ceiling of this team? I know the schedule was tough. And, you know, you do mention a good point that there's, you know, the emotional ups and downs of a college football season is a real thing. And you can't invest so much in Penn State that you know, you're primed for a letdown after that. But just from a pure ability standpoint, what's the scene? How good can this team be?
Well, I wrote a thing for on our website, triplehive.com. I think I posted it Saturday, you know, several hours before the game, that I thought Pitt was going to win 7 and lose 5 this year. Probably go to a bowl game and we'll see after that. But and that'll be an improvement over last year because they were 5-7. I think that's where they stand. Like I said, they're inexperienced at wide receiver. They have an offensive line that has some experience, but also some guys at guard who've never played before. Now, they're seniors. They're fifth-year seniors, good kids, good, strong kids, probably the strongest kids in the weight room, but they haven't played. And maybe that becomes a problem when you meet some teams with some great defensive lines, which they're going to meet, you know, against Penn State, and they're going to probably meet against Notre Dame later on and against Miami later on. It's going to be another difficult game they have. So I'm thinking with the inexperience of a wide receiver, some of the problems in the secondary because they have to replace two starters, Jordan Whitehead and Avante Maddox, who are in the NFL right now. And that's not easy to do. And they're doing it with young guys. Young guys get victimized sometimes by smart quarterbacks. And Trace McSorley is definitely maybe the best quarterback they're going to face all year. So it's a very difficult schedule. I don't think they can, I don't think they're going to win the Coastal Division. I really think, despite what happened to Miami last night, I think Miami is still the favorite to win the Coastal and probably get beat by Clemson again in the championship game. But hey, you know, everybody's 0-0 in the conference right now. So, anything's possible.
About 30 seconds here, Jerry. Just your thought, your expectation of game flow and how you expect Saturday to unfold. It sounds like, from your perspective, you're going to see some points scored.
Yeah, I think so. I think Pitt's going to have to, you know, score a lot of points to win the game, just like they scored a lot of points 2 years ago to win the game and then held on at the end. They were real kind of lucky in that game. They ended up with an interception. But if you recall, Deshaun Hamilton was wide open and dropped the pass. That would have been the deciding points in that game. I think Pitt needs to jump out quickly. They did try to score quickly. They didn't get an edge on Penn State. Get them wondering. You know, Penn State's coming off a game where they didn't play very well. And if you keep that up and you get a lead on them in the first quarter, then maybe they have to question themselves and they start pressing. They get desperate and maybe you get an edge that way. But Pitt's, I still believe, even as much as they like Kenny Pickett and as much as they're bragging up these wide receivers they have, they're still going to run the ball, and they're going to run it early with Quadri Olson and Darren Hall. Darren Hall didn't play much against Albany, but I think he was held back for whatever reason. You know, that's the one thing about Pat Narduzzi. If he holds a guy back and doesn't play much, you assume the guy's hurt, but then if you ask the question, he doesn't want to talk about it. So Hall did play, and Hall had a very good season last year, and so did Quadri Olson. You remember Quadri Olson ran for 1,100 yards in 2015, when he replaced James Conner, the season that James Conner had the knee injury. So they do have some depth at running back, and another guy, A.J. Davis, sophomore, who's more of a slippery kind of guy. So they have three really decent backs, good backs, I think, that they'll try to lean on to try to, you know, keep possession of the football, keep it out of McSorley's hands, and try to get an early lead.
There you go. Jerry DiPaolo from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Check him out, triblive.com. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't do this anywhere but Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.